we could turn in our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, and we're going to read from chapter 4 of the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 4 is our scripture reading this morning, and beginning our reading at verse 1 of the chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great, that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire into the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye may do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves, and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun, and the moon, and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them, and serve them which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord hath taken you, and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and sware that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go in unto that good land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for inheritance. But I must die in this land, I must not go over Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess that good land. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts for his name's sake. Can we unite in a word of prayer again, please? Our loving God and our gracious Father, we come to thee in our Saviour's precious name. We enter into thy presence today, and we thank thee, our God, for the instruction that is given to us here in thy word. We think of Moses as he instructed the children of Israel. We thank thee that thy word is still relevant for us, even in this day in which we live, in this modern age. We thank thee, our God, for the precepts and the principles that are set before us in thy precious word today. Our God, we pray that we might learn from them, that we might take them in, and that thou wouldst bless thy word to our hearts. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. This chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 4, brings an end to the speech of Moses as he's really saying farewell to the children of Israel. They have come to the east bank of Jordan. They are near Mount Nebo. And Moses here is given his final instructions. He's going to go into Mount Nebo, and he's going to be taken to the Lord there. Only two people who had come out of Egypt were amongst them, apart from Moses, and that's Joshua and Caleb. Most of the people had been buried out in the wilderness, and their bones were bleaching in the desert sun. And this was a new generation now ready to go into the promised land and take the land that God had promised for them. And Moses now reviews the wilderness experiences, and he pleads with them that they should obey the God that had brought them out and had brought them into the land that he had promised them. And I want you to see that Moses now, as he's really saying farewell to these people, and this really is tantamount to his last word and testimony, he wants them to stand fast in the faith. That's the thing that he wants them to do. He wants them to stay true to God. And I want you to see that there are a number of warnings to take heed in this portion of Scripture. You have that take heed in verse 9, and then in verse 15, and then again in verse 23. And the word translated take heed from the Hebrew is the word shamar, which properly means to hedge about, as with thorns. It means to guard, generally to protect, to attend to something, to beware, to be circumspect, take heed, regard, reserve, to save. It has a special reference to gatekeepers or to doorkeepers or watchmen. That's what they would do. They would take heed. They would watch and make sure that they were guarding and watching what was going on. And according to the Oxford Dictionary, to take heed to something means to pay close attention to that thing. It means to take notice of it. And I want you to see that what Moses wants the children of Israel here to do is to pay attention to what God has done for them and said to them, and he wants them to guard what God has given them, the inheritance that they give. He wants them to closely guard the blessings that God has bestowed upon them. And when we think of the man of God here, he really is saying farewell. He's no agenda. He's not trying to promote himself in anything that he says. All he wants is for the good of the children of Israel. Really, here he is speaking from the heart and passing on the wisdom that he's gleaned from God and has achieved down through the years, and he wants them to take heed. And as we think of Moses' message here, it is one that rings down through the corridors of time. And I think in many ways the principles that he brings here are as relevant today as they've ever been. What he says to the children of Israel here in the last message that he brings to them is as valid for us as it was for them. Well, there are things that we need to take heed to, and there are things that we need to guard unless we let them slip. And how easy it is to become complacent in this day, how easy it would be to let things slip and let the flesh in. And unless we're guarding and taking heed, then it's very easy to drift away and to let things slip and to become complacent. And we need to heed what the prophet Moses here is saying, that we take heed to these things that he speaks to the children of Israel about. So today, we need to take heed. And I want us to see the things that Moses wanted the children of Israel to take heed to. And I think today that there are things that we need to take heed to too. Now, the first thing that we need to take heed to is that we need to take heed to our souls. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9. He says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." Now, it's the opening words of the exhortation I want to look at first of all. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. I want you to think about the harm we can do to our souls. Now, the fact that Moses is telling them to take heed and to guard their souls, to keep their souls, would imply that unless they do that, their souls can suffer harm. Is that possible? You know, well, first of all, I need to say that in order for you to take heed to your soul, you need to be saved. Your soul needs to be saved. The Bible says, the Lord said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You can lose your soul. Your soul can be lost. And without Christ, your soul is lost. If you're going to take heed to your soul, the very first thing that you need to make sure is that Christ has rescued your soul, that your heart is washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, and you're saved by his grace, that you have eternal life in your soul. But having said that, I want you to see that Moses here is speaking to the children of God here. He's speaking to the children of Israel. And he's addressing these people and he says, take heed to your soul. Keep your soul diligently. I know that God's people cannot perish. Our souls, if we're saved today, we will not perish. He says, "I give unto them, his people, eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." But I want you to turn over with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. And the context here is David and Ziklag. They're at Ziklag. Remember how the enemy had burned Ziklag and captured the families of the men of Israel, and the people were very wroth with David. And it says in verse 6, "David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Now the word grieved there, it says that the soul of the people was grieved. Now the word there that means grieved means also bitter. It wasn't just that they were mourning and that they were sad. Of course they were sad. And they were very greatly distressed that their families had been captured and taken by the Philistine. But it was more than that, because we hear of them speaking about stoning David, and there's a bitterness that has entered into their soul. And their soul has become bitter, it has become soured by the thoughts that they have had and so on. And so we can see here in this instance how a soul can become bitter and soured. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse 22. And here is Peter speaking to the Christians. And in 1 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse 22, he says there, 1 Peter 1 verse 22, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." And he says, you've purified your souls. And again, Peter is he's writing to Christians here, and it seems that their souls have become defiled, that they've become marred in some way. And you know, and I know, that that's the case as we go about in the world, as we walk about day by day, as we listen to the world, as we are coming to contact with the world. Our souls can be marred, our souls can be defiled, even thoughts can enter into us, our hearts, we can succumb to temptation, and we're marred, and we need our souls purified. We need the cleansing that the precious blood of Christ can impart. But I want you to see that it seems as if when we dabble with sin, if we dally with sin, then there is that marring of our souls. There is a harm that comes to our souls. And we can't dilly-dally with sin because we don't know how far sin will take us. We don't know what sin will want us to pay. And what we need to do as God's people today is to take heed to our souls diligently. Look after your soul. Look after the things of the Spirit. We think of the things of the flesh and the things of the Spirit. Many of God's people today seem to be more concerned with the things of the flesh than the things of the Spirit. More intent on looking after our bodies than to be looking after our souls. And we do need to look after our bodies, nothing wrong with that. But we also need to look after our souls. We need to look after our spiritual welfare and the things that we do. And Satan will come along and try to get us to care for the flesh. Don't worry about the soul. Don't be concerned about that. But dear friend, as soon as we become lax in our spiritual welfare and our spiritual guarding of ourselves, that's the very time that we fall. And we cannot overemphasize how dangerous it is to drift. So, are you looking after the welfare of your soul? Has there something of a self-centeredness entered? In Psalm 42, we read about the psalmist, and he said, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God, when I come and appear before God." And here's a man who had a real longing for God and for the things of God. Is that your longing today? Is there a real deep down thirst for God? And he says, take heed to thy soul. Take heed. Don't let other things enter in. Make sure that we keep short accounts with God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The harm that we can do to our souls. Look at the heed that we must pay to our souls. We must guard them with all our hearts. But thank God also there's the healing we can have for our souls. Where do we get that? We get it at the Saviour's feet. We come to him. We do confess our sins. And Paul, writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, he said, "But we all with open face, beholding as at last the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Where was his soul transformed as he looked to Christ? I say to you today, if you've wandered away, if there has been a marring of your soul, look to Christ. Come to him for cleansing. You know, we think of John Newton, the writer of the hymn Amazing Grace. In 1714, he preached on New Year's morning, 1714, and he wrote after a note which he described the remedy of the ailing soul. And this is what he said, and I quote, He said, "We are therefore to take heed. The heart is deceitful, the world ensnaring, Satan watchful. But how? The best care we can take of ourselves is to entreat the Lord to take care of us. But there are means within our reach, and in the use of them, he has promised to bless us." And he quotes Psalm 127, verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." He says to commune with our hearts, to review our ways. He says the reading of scriptures, this will bring things to our mind. Frequency at the throne of grace. And of course, Newton was right. We need to take heed to our souls. We need to get to the throne of grace. We need to get into the presence of God. So he says, take heed. Take heed to your soul. But the second thing I want you to see that we're to take heed to is to the schooling. Look at verse 9 again. "Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, to teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." Now we're to take heed to two things there. We're to school ourselves, first of all, in the goodness of God. We are to remember the great things that God has done for us. How swiftly we forget the things that God has done for us. You think of the children of Israel here, entering into the promised land. God had brought them out of the bondage of Egypt. He'd supplied their wants through the wilderness. And yet they were forgetting God. And he says to them, take heed. Take heed to these things. Remember these things. And we forget how much relief there was to our souls when we first met the Lord. We remember the bondage from which he brought us. We forget the chains that he broke. We forget the wonderful blessings that he has brought us in our lives as we walk with him. We forget the times when he met us in the place of prayer. We forget the many answers to prayer that he has given to us. And he says, only take heed to thyself, he says, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. And we need to make sure that we're not forgetting the things that our eyes have seen today, that we look to those things that God has supplied for us. Remember his goodness. Remember his blessings. Remember what he has done. But then he says, not only are we to remember for ourselves the goodness of God, but we are to teach those things to our sons and to our sons' sons. You know, it is said that in America today, between 75 and 90% of children that are raised in Christian homes are walking away from Christianity or anything to do with Christianity by the time they hit college. Now, that is America, but we're not long behind. And it is not far behind in this country. We are losing our young people. And I want to tell you today that it's not more programs for youth that we need, for sometimes those are part of the problem. What we need is for parents to teach their children. What we need is for you who are the parents and grandparents to make sure that your children obey the commands of God, and something is dynamic needs to happen, and we need to make sure that we're passing on what we believe and that that our children know the reasons for it. It says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And you need to train them, and you need to teach them, and you need to make sure that they're taught in the things of God. And let me tell you, if you don't teach them, the world will teach them. There are plenty out there. And the Bible says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And when children get together, it is a multiplied foolishness. And there will be foolishness, and they will teach one another, and television will teach them, and the advertising industry will teach them, and the propaganda of the world out there will teach them that the things of God are not to be believed or to adhere to. And if you do not teach them, we will lose our families and our young people, and we need to make sure that they're schooled in the things of God. He says, take heed to that. Take heed to that. Make sure that they're taught in the scriptures. Teach them the scriptures themselves. Teach them why you believe the scriptures. Teach them why you stand the way you do. And in order to do that, of course, you've got to school yourself in the things of God and know why you stand where you do and why you take the stand that you do. There's social media out there. There is all sorts of things, and children are being pumped at now 24 hours a day. They have access to all of these things, and if we're not going to lose our children, then we need to make sure that they know the truth. For this is the truth. The lie they will believe if we don't teach them to remember the truth. So we've got to take heed to the schooling of our children. And then something else we're to take heed to. We're to take heed to that which is significant. Now go down to verses 15 and 16. And we have the second take heed in this chapter. Look at what he says. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves. For ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb, out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves, and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female. And I want you to notice what he's saying here. They are not to worship God by means of images or pictures or icons or idols, because the human heart is very prone to want an image to worship. And I think that it is good for us to be reminded from time to time that these things are forbidden, because they can enter in very handily. And you even get evangelical churches today, and they have sort of pictures and they have icons of sorts up and so on. But God does not want to be worshipped by images or by pictures. But we're not just talking about the images and the carved gods that the children of Israel, but what about the sports team? What about food? What about possessions? What about money? What about cars? What about entertainment? What about nature? What about animals? What about drugs or alcohol? What about porn? Those are some of the things that people can get caught up with today. Now, some of the things that I have mentioned are not absolutely wrong. The last two are. The last two, if you get involved in them, alcohol, porn, drugs, those things will consume you. But some of the other things that we mentioned are not absolutely wrong in themselves. But they are wrong when they start to consume you. When they begin to take your time. When they begin to take your efforts and your thoughts day by day. Now, when you stand before God and look Him in the face, will God want to know who played for Manchester United or Chelsea or Tottenham Hotspur? When you stand before God, will God want to know about the breed of cattle that you raise? Or will He want to know about the brake horsepower of the latest car that you have? Will God want to know about those things? You see, dear friends, if we let, and we need to, and it might be something else, but whatever it is that is taking control of your life, the Lord says here, take heed. Take heed. And if you're spending a large amount of time on those things, then you need to take heed. Look at verse 20 here. He says, "But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto you a people of inheritance as ye are this day." And the Lord is saying to them, remember what's significant. Remember who it was that delivered you. Remember who it was that has brought blessings to your life. Remember who it was that has really made a difference to your life. Those other things, those other gods, they make no difference whatsoever except take up your time. Remember what Paul wrote to the Ephesians. He said to them, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in disobedience." And he goes on, and we could quote the whole thing. But then at the end of it, he says, "And hath raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come He might show unto us the exceeding riches of His grace and in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." What is He saying? He's saying this is what really matters. This is where you get real riches. This is what the things that you see around us, those things will pass away. But heaven and earth may pass away. But God's word and God's heaven and God's reality does not pass away. So why be caught up with those things? Why let them take up your time? Why let them dominate you? We need to give our allegiance to God. Take heed to what is significant. But one more thing I want you to see, and that is that we're to take heed to the scriptures. Go down now to the last one of these take heeds in this portion of scripture that we read there. Look at verse 23. He says, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make you a graven image or likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee." Now, once again, he's warning about idols, because we're prone to idols. We are all prone to idols, and he re-emphasizes it. But we've dealt with the idols, and I want to just focus upon the first part of what he says there. He says, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you." Now, the reference to the covenant there is a reference to the Mosaic covenant, to the Ten Commandments. Look at verse 13. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And then he says in verse 23, remember that covenant. Remember God's commandments. Remember what God has told you to do. And a covenant, of course, is a binding agreement. It's like a marriage. Marriage is a covenant, actually. And we think of the marriage as not to be broken. And we think of the thing laid down here. He says, this is the covenant. This is a binding agreement. This is something that you don't break. He says, remember these commands. And we can widen it out. And we can speak about the other commands that are given in God's word. In other words, remember the commands of Scripture. Remember what God's word has to say. We're living a day when it's been argued that God's people are free from the commandments. And if you say something is wrong today as Christians, we're often accused of legalism. But that often is antinomianism. It is an old heresy where it's argued that Christians are not under the law. Remember what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 19. We're not under the law in the sense that the children of Israel were under the law. But we think of what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 5 verse 19. He said, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So the Lord speaks about our responsibility towards the law in negative and positive terms. We're first of all to keep it, and then we are to teach it. We're to make sure that nothing that we do, or nothing, no example of ours, makes men or women to turn away from the commandments of God. Remember what the Savior said? He said, think not that I'm come to destroy the law. The word destroy there means abolish or abrogate. He didn't come to abrogate or abolish the law. What did he come to do? He came to redeem men by his death there on the cross of Calvary, that the penalty of the law should not be upon us. But thank God today for the commands of God, and we are to obey the commands of God. And he says, take heed to that. Take heed to that. There, since the fall, man has had a resentment against the laws of God, and men hate to do them and hate to be under them in any way, and we'd like to be free from them. But we are to be those today who keep the law. Not only can we disannul the law by not keeping it, but we can disannul the law by adding to it or subtracting from it. You'll notice here that he speaks about that we are not to add to the law or subtract from it in any way. And we have an example of that of the Pharisees. Remember the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. The Lord said, you've heard it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now the Pharisees said, they said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. The Bible nowhere says hate thine enemy. This was an addition. They were adding to the law of God. And it can be easy for us to do that, because that is legalism, when we start adding to the law of God. When we start making our own rules and regulations to impose upon other people. We need to be very careful about that. You can disannul the law in that way as well. But then thirdly, we can disannul the law in our lives by limiting the areas of our life to which the law applies. You see, you can very willingly apply the law of God to your life when you come to church or when you come to the prayer meeting. But when it comes to maybe your finances or education or economics or science or arts or government, we can limit the reach of the law of God there. You can't do that. You can't do that. In our government, and those that are involved in government have to apply the law of God. Now, the Old Testament law has passed away in that sense. We're not under the law of God, the theocratic law of God in that sense. But the commandments, the Ten Commandments, are for all time. They're for all time. We keep the commandments of God. And those commands that he's given to us in the New Testament, those are those commands that we keep. Are we obeying God's word today? Or are we limiting God to certain areas of our life? It's okay when we get to church, we can seem such good, upright Christian people, but then when we get out into the world or the things of the world, things are different. Is that true of you? Are you disannulling God's law by limiting the aspects of your life that God's law applies to? No, it applies to your whole life. All of our lives are to be given to him. And God says here, take heed. He says, take heed, guard, pay attention. Don't let these things slip. Because they are important things. They are the most important thing. I know that there are so many things that take up your time. There are so many things that are occupying your attention day by day. But what about your soul? What about your children and their schooling? What about your the scriptures? What about these things, the things that are significant? Are those the things that you're taking heed to in your life? Because if they're not, then we need to change. And we need to get right with God. And we need to put the first things first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for the opportunity of coming to thee today. And our God, we think of the exhortation here to take heed. And we pray that thou wouldst enable us to take heed, take good heed to ourselves in these incoming days. Write thy word upon our hearts. Bless us now and separate us in thy fear and with thy blessing. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen.